And whether you find it or not, it's real.
All right. Two places I want you to turn your Bible, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter number 10, and the second book in the Bible, the book of Exodus. If you just would look at that just for a minute, also you don't find Exodus chapter 3 and hold your place right there in Exodus chapter 3. And I promise you, that's all the flipping around you'll have to do. All right. Hold your place in Exodus and look in Romans with me, chapter 10. Everybody have it? All right. Romans chapter 10. The verses I'm going to read to you. Anytime I've ever preached from these verses throughout our church, if I ever had announced Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 as our text verse, I'd always get a big amen from right down here where Brother Selby always sat. Mm-hmm. He'd say, "Hey, praise the Lord." He said, "That's," and because them were the verses that the soul winner used to show him the day he got saved. He was 46, 40-some years old. And the soul winners, the visitors from the church, the soul winners, come by on Thursday night, knocked on his door and said, "Could we talk to you about the Lord?" And he said, I'm too busy tonight." And they said, "Well, can we come by next week?" And he said, "I reckon." And he forgot to not be there. And they showed up, like they said. And they said, "Well, you told us come by tonight. Can we come in?" And he said, "I reckon." And he said, they come in and sat down. He sat in his chair and they sat on his couch. And they said to him, they said, "Mr. Selby, do you believe Jesus loved you? He died for you." And he said, "I believe that." He said, "You believe it? The Bible says we're all sinners. The price for sin is death and hell." And he said, "I believe that." He said, "Do you believe the Lord would save you if you ask Him to?" And he said, "I believe it." They said, "Can we show you some Bible verses?" And he said, "Well, sure." And they showed him Romans 10:9, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Verse 11 says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12 says, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all, listen, is rich unto all that call upon Him. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. He said, they read them verses to him, looked at him, and he said, "Mr. Selby, do you believe that?" And he said, he was a well-respected man in the community, a good, well-known man in the community, and he said, for the first time, he realized he was lost, and he said, "Yeah, I believe that." And they said, "Would you like to accept Jesus Christ to save you tonight?" And he said, "I would." And he said, "Well, get down here on your knees. Let's pray, and you can get saved." And he said, "I got saved." He said, "I asked them, what do I do next?" And they said, "Well, next you need to get baptized." He said, "Well, let's go out and dam the creek up." And they called the preacher and asked the preacher if that'd be all right. And he said, "Well, it would be." He said, "But I'd rather him wait till Sunday." He said, "Just bring him on to church on Sunday." He said, "We'll let the community know." He said, "We want everybody to have a chance to come see him." And that Sunday, he got baptized. But on that Thursday, the deal was sealed. The transaction was finished. Because he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He accepted God's word for himself. And I want you to listen here this morning. There's no greater burden in my heart than the burden to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No greater burden. There's no greater need in our world than the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, there's nothing that the devil fights any harder than the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right. So I implore you this morning, I beg you to listen and to hear what God has. I want to show you a story in the Bible later on, but first we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us this morning, dear God. I pray, God, you'd give us attentive hearts, attentive ears. God, help us to hear, Lord, this morning what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the book of Exodus, where we, I had you to turn, Exodus chapter 3. And look in just for a minute. I don't want to read too much to you, but I want you to keep your eyes fixed on the Bible for a few minutes and listen as I read it. And I want you to follow with me. Exodus chapter 3, verse 15 says, and God said, let's go back to verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Now let me pause just for a minute and just say that God has called Moses from tending his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the desert on a mountain. God appeared to Moses in a burning bush, in a flame of fire. And he appeared to Moses, and he called Moses to go to Egypt to let the people of Israel know that God heard their cries and that God had come to deliver them. I want you to understand this. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The whole story of Moses revolves around the fact that God heard their call. I want you to understand something else. They did not even know who they were calling to. They didn't know God. They knew about God. They knew very little. These Egyptian captive Jews had not been to Sunday school. They had not been to church. They had not been to any revival meetings. They had no man of God to stand up weekly and teach them. All they had was a little bit of something passed down from generation to generation. Just a little seed, a little mustard seed of knowledge that there was a God and that that God cared about them. And here they are in bondage, and in bondage, in the Egyptian bondage, and under the slave masters and the taskmasters of Egypt. And I want to say this, that Egypt is a great picture of sin, because sin's aim is to destroy you and me. Sin is an evil taskmaster, addiction, habits, those things. Brother, listen, you'll watch a great lie. Watch sin snuff out a life. It'll destroy a life and take the joy away from it. It'll take the happiness away from it. And by the way, it doesn't get better. My dad used to say a lot of times, and he knew what he was talking about, he said, your very first day in sin is your best day. He said, because from then on it just gets worse and worse and worse. He said, it seems good at first, but it gets worse as it goes. He said, your first day serving the Lord is your best day. He said, at first, he said, you don't know. He said, the longer you serve Him, the sweeter it gets and the more wonderful it gets to serve the Lord and to live for Him. And the Bible talks about that. But these children of Egypt were in bondage. They were under the burden of the Egyptian bondage, and they cried. And God heard their cry. And I want you to know this morning that God will hear your cry. God will hear your call. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The children of Israel cried, and God sent a deliverer. And God has sent for us a deliverer, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to talk to you about that a little bit. Moses says to them, he says, well, God, he said, when they ask, what's his name, what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now we get that messed up, us, all of you been in Sunday school too long, in church too long. We think that he's saying that's what he's supposed to tell Pharaoh. But that's what he's telling the Jews. That message is addressed to the Jews. The Jews that are there, they need to know who God is. God's not dealing with the Pharaoh right now. He wants to get the message to the Jews, to who He is. And so he says, verse 15, God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Look right up here. Read your Bible. Read with me verse 16. Verse 16, look at your Bible. It says, go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. I want you to understand this, that God sees your plight. But listen, there's a verse here that I started to preach along this line. But not only does God see, but the Bible says God knows your sorrows. Now, I don't understand how God knows our sorrows, but He does. God wouldn't say something insincere. Someone may look at you and say, oh, I understand your problem. And in your heart, you know they're just words. They don't really understand. But when God says He knows your sorrows, then you can rest assured God is sincere. He's not just saying something to make you feel good. He knows your sorrows. Every Christian here this morning has some sorrows, some problems, and God knows your sorrows. And God wants to help. I'm so glad that I have a God whom I can speak anytime, day or night, and God's never asleep. He always listens. He's never busy. He never doesn't care. He always listens, and He hears my cry. He hears my call when I call to Him. But here He says in the passage of Scripture, in verse number 16, He said, go and gather the elders of Israel. In verse 17, He says, I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt. I'm glad that when God saves you, He brings you up, out. Amen? Up and out. Sin, the purpose of sin is to take you down. But Jesus comes to save you up, out. Amen? The Bible says He hath heard my cry. It says He hath set my feet upon the solid rock. Amen? He lifted me out of the miry clay. And He put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Amen? I'm glad He gets us up out of it. He said He's come to, He said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt and the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites into a land flowing with milk and honey. He says, I have a good land for you. He said, I've got something good for you. He said, if you'll trust me. He said, if you'll call, He said, you let me. He said, I have something good for you if you'll just trust me. And verse 18 says, they shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journeys into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And verse 19, notice this. This is God speaking here, said, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Not by a mighty hand. Verse 20, God says, and I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, He will let you go. I'm glad this morning to let you know that the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You may say, man, the devil's strong. He is strong. You may say, hey, I hate the devil and I hate what he does and I... And anybody that's been around very long, you know what the devil, how he can destroy life and how he can wreck your life and bring hell and misery into your life. Listen, hey, people say, well, I'm already in hell. I want you to understand that there is a misery that can come to a person on this life, but the life that you live here, no matter how bad it gets, it's no comparison to what hell is going to be like. But listen, hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And though there can be misery here in this life, it's not likened to the eternal fires of hell.
That's right.
But I want you to know that even though the sin may seem like you can't get loose and you can't let go, and sin may say you'll never let go, you'll never be free, God can set you free.
That's right.
The Bible says, "Yes, the truth and the truth shall make you free. You shall be free. You shall be free indeed." Amen? And you can walk away and you can be free. And you can enjoy the peace that Jesus gives. And verse number 21 says, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Now, I want you to listen just for a minute. I read to you in Romans chapter 10. I'm not going to read Romans chapter or Exodus chapter 4. I would like to read that to you, but I want you to look up here. I've read enough to you. In Exodus chapter 4, God, Moses complains. Moses says, well, God, I don't think I'm fit for it. And listen, the first thing you'll do when God tells you to do something, the first thing you'll do is you'll begin to make excuses. The first thing you'll do, well, listen, when it comes to your soul, when it comes to obeying the voice of God, the first thing you'll do, there'll be some excuse pop into your head. Let me say this to every Christian here. When God speaks to your heart about obedience, about obeying God, doing something that God wants you to do, whether it's being faithful to church, or whether it's passing out a gospel tract, man, you can have that gospel tract in your pocket, you can see some old sinner walking along, and the Lord say, "Won't you witness to that person?" And the very first thing you'll do, there'll be an excuse coming to your mind and say, "Well, nah, he don't want to hear it." No, they never want to hear it. Amen. The devil uses that excuse all the time. But listen, hey, whether it be church, you say, "I'm going to church." There'll be 100 things come up between now and the time you get there that'll keep you from getting there. I guarantee it. That's the way it works. Listen, brother, hey, you've got to determine that no matter what comes, the excuse is not going to keep you from the blessing that God has if you'll obey God. But Moses said, "Well, God, wait a minute." He said, "I want to tell you something you don't know about me. By the way, there's nothing God doesn't know about you." Amen. But Moses said to God, he said, "But you don't understand." He said, "I'm slow of tongue." He said, "I'm a hillbilly." That's all right. God can use hillbillies. Amen. He said, "I'm slow of tongue." And he said, "My tongue gets tied." God, he said, "You probably didn't know that." And God said, "I already knew that." He said, "I made man's tongue." He said, "I made you, Moses." He said, "I know all about you." He said, "Don't worry about it." Moses said, "But I don't think I can do it." So the Bible says God got angry with Moses. And I want you to know that God is not happy with our excuses. Amen. Never. No more than what you're happy with an excuse, God's much more unhappy with an excuse. I don't really like them. Amen. I try hard not to make excuses. But listen, they didn't seem to work for my dad. My dad would send me to go find something, and I'd come back and say, "Dad, I can't find it." I couldn't understand why he got mad at me. I couldn't find it. Until one day he told me that he was on the job, and he sent a guy to find something. The guy came back, said, "I can't find it." And he looked at him, and he said, "Well, what are you doing here?" He said, "Well, I couldn't find it." He said, "Well, you ought to still be looking for it." Then a light bulb came on. That's why he got mad at me all those years, because I come back without finding it. Amen. I went back and I looked for a little while. Instead of finding what I was looking for, I come up with an excuse and thought that would be unacceptable. But an excuse is never acceptable. Amen.
Right.
And God, Moses said, "I got an excuse, God. Excuse me, God. I don't think I'm qualified." And God said, "I made you. I called you. If I called you, I'll qualify you."
Right.
And people say, "Well, I could never get saved. I could never live the Christian life. I couldn't live that way." I got good news for you. You're right. You can't. But God knows your condition.
Right.
He knows you're lost. He knows your habits. He knows your tongue. He knows what's on your mind. Hey, but God can take all of that. He can save you and He can change all of that. But you got to give it to Him first. Amen.
Right. Right.
There's a fellow one time that was an artist, and he wanted to draw. He wanted to make a portrait of a homeless, derelict type of fellow. And he went down to a street there and he found a man, a bum, what the world would call a bum. And he said, "I would like to offer you a deal." He said, "I got a job for you." He said, "All you have to do is show up tomorrow at noon." He said, "Can you be there?" And he said, "I can come." He said, "Can you be there?" He said, "I'll come." He said, "I want to offer you." He said, "I got a check for $500 if you'll be there. All you got to do is have to show up." He said, "I've got a job for you." The fellow was so excited about it, encouraged about it, he felt a little incentive. He said, "That guy's got a job for me." He said, "I want to be presentable to that fellow." So he went out and he was all messy. He went out and saved his old, got his beard trimmed up nice and got his hair combed. And man, listen, he went down to the Goodwill store and found the best, sharpest set of clothes he could find. And man, listen, he just polished himself up as much as he possibly could. At noon he showed up and the guy said, "Who are you?" He said, "What do you mean, who am I?" He said, "I'm the fellow that you met down the other day and offered a job. Said, just show up. You got $500. He said, "I can't use you." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I got all dressed up." He said, "I did everything I could to make myself presentable." He said, "I wanted you just like you were." There's a song we sing, "Just as I am." That's how God wants you, just like you are.
Amen.
You know what the devil will tell you to do? The devil will tell you, you need to change some things. You know what? You can't change one thing that will make you any closer to heaven.
Not one.
But the more things you try to change on the way to heaven will get you closer to hell.
Amen.
Because that's an excuse. That's procrastinating, putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. In order to be saved, you just need to say, "God, here I am."
That's right.
"I can't do anything, God. I can't change my situation. I can't make my life better, God. My life is messed up. But God, here it is. You take it and you use me." And God said, "That's all I was ever asking for." That's how God saves us. Amen.
Amen.
"For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But Moses said, "God, I can't do it." I want to ask you a question. How in the world was Moses going to convince the children of Israel to obey God if God wasn't willing? If Moses wasn't willing? First thing Moses had to do was believe. First thing Moses did was hear the word of God. God spoke to Moses and God heard it. But then Moses had to believe it. See how simple this thing is? Hear and believe. Hear and believe. That's all simple as it is.
Right.
Hear God's word and believe it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How then shall we hear without a preacher? How shall we preach except they be sent? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, preacher, how close am I to being saved? As close as you are to hearing the Word of God and then believing it.
Right.
See, preacher, a lot of people go to hell because they're wicked, no good, dry and sinners, or they go to hell because they hear the Word of God and they don't accept it.
Right.
They don't believe it. They refuse to believe the Word of God. Listen, God told Moses, He said here in chapter 4, I wish I had time, but I'm not going to take time to do it to you, but show you. But He says, after Moses bargains with God, God says, I'm going to send your brother, he'll help you. And then God says to Moses, He said, I want you to go. He said, when you stand before the people, He said, first thing I want you to do is throw your rod down. Throw the rod down, He said, in your hand. What's that in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, throw it down. It became a serpent. He said, I want you to do that. He said, show them that sign. Later on, He had another thing. And then finally, He said, I want you to take a cup. He said, reach into the river. And He said, fill it full of water. He said, then when you pour it out, He said, it'll be blood. He said, I want you to show that to them. Three things that He did. Three things. Three. When you got enough kids, you got to... Three. But listen. Three things, He said, I want you to do. Then you tell your kids, that's the last time I'm telling you. One more time, you're done. But listen. He said to him, He said, look, He said, three things. He did those three things. The people believed. The people said, okay, Moses, we believe you. We believe God. So now the people believe. Moses believes. The people believe. Now they got to go before Pharaoh. Who's Pharaoh? He's the unbeliever. You see, Pharaoh had a chance. He had one chance. He said, preacher, I've got lots of chances to get saved. No, you may only have one. I believe with all my heart that according to the Word of God, everybody has one chance. You say, preacher, the Bible says so that in Romans chapter 1, so that they're without excuse. Nobody's going to go to hell and say, well, God, you never gave me a chance.
Right.
Even Pharaoh had a chance. He had one chance.
Yeah.
Say, preacher, I have lots of chances. You may only have one chance. You may only have one. Don't bargain on having a lot. Amen?
That's right.
We've heard Brother Anderson's testimony. And he said 8 years he was under conviction. For 8 years God dealt with him. And I'm glad that God's a merciful God and God kept on dealing with him. And God kept on. But there's no guarantee he didn't have to have those 8 years. God gave him those 8 years because he's a merciful God. He said, preacher, I'm going to do that someday. You have no guarantee that someday will ever come.
Right.
The only guarantee that you have, I believe, according to the Bible, is that you have a chance. And God told Moses had one, Pharaoh had one chance and one only. See, preacher, no, God hardened Pharaoh's heart, right? God hardened his heart after he rejected the first time. So there was a point in it, so be it. Hey, God can do whatever he wanted to, and Pharaoh was an example of a man that was hardened. But listen, he had one chance. And when Moses stood before Pharaoh, he said, who is God that I should listen to him? And that was it.
Boy.
That was it. From that point on, his heart began to harden against God. You see, everything that Moses did before Pharaoh, all the 12 plagues that you all have heard about, everything that he did, God did not do it to convince Pharaoh to change his mind. He did it to further harden his heart. Until so much so that the last plague was, he said, tonight the death angel is going to come through and he's going to smite the firstborn of your house. The firstborn will die everywhere the death angel passes over. And that night Pharaoh lay down wondering if it would happen. All 11 things that Moses had said had happened. That morning he woke up and he heard the screams and the cries of the people of his land as the death angel had passed over and the firstborn was dead.
Right.
And Pharaoh said, okay, enough. Let them go. Let the people go. And they weren't going very long at all to what Pharaoh said, let's go get them. Because
yep.
His heart was hardened. And I'm going to tell you, you reject God. Every time you reject God, your heart gets harder.
That's right.
There's no guarantee that you're going to have chance number two or chance number three. But I guarantee you this. Listen, I guarantee that every time you say no to God, it gets easier to say no to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because your heart gets harder.
Yes.
Your heart gets harder and harder and harder. And instead of the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, what you're doing is you're getting harder and harder against God. There have been many a people sitting in a church service and time after time after time hear the invitation and turn it off until they die and go to hell. It doesn't have to be that way.
No,
listen, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. Understand this morning. If a man goes to heaven, it's because he has believed the Word of God. He's seen the wonders of God's Word. He's heard the preaching of God's Word. And the Word of God has made his heart tender. I want you to know this, that the Word of God will make your heart tender. Amen? When you begin to hear the Word of God and you see yourself a sinner and you see that God's a Savior and the Word of God makes your heart tender to the truth of God. The Word has arrested his thoughts. Brother, listen, you open the Bible up enough and you hear it preached enough and after a while this Word, the Bible says, is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It says it's piercing even and dividing asunder the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts. And brother, listen, hey, you can go to church sometime and you can say, man, how did that preacher know everything was on my mind? Well, he got to me. Why? Because he preached the Word of God, and the Word of God gets to you, amen? Hey, brother, listen, the Word of God can come right to where you are, and whatever situation you're in, the Word of God can come, and man, you think, then did the preacher, somebody told on me. No, God knows you, amen? And God's Word knows where to find you.
Right.
But listen, the Word of God knows how to find you. And many a person may have gone to a church service hard against God, but they heard the preaching out. I heard a preacher say one time that he was over in the Middle East preaching. It was an Arabic crowd of Christians, but there was a Muslim, a cleric, that had come into the service, and he walked in bold and pompous, and he sat on the front row of the service. The preacher was preaching through an interpreter. He said while he was preaching, he got carried away, and he accidentally knocked the water they give it on. He knocked it on that Muslim cleric, and he thought, man, that guy's mad. He ain't going to listen to anything. He kept preaching the Word of God. He kept preaching the Word of God. He just kept preaching God's Word. The invitation gave and the people prayed and that man stood up and walked to the front. He motioned for someone to come and he asked, he said, can I be saved? And that Muslim man got saved. I heard a preacher tell one time he went to make a visit. There was a lady that had visited their church and she wanted to go to church and the preacher went by to visit her and her husband had no use for that preacher or God or church or anything else. He said he sat down and he said that preacher wouldn't even, that man wouldn't even look at him. He said, I tried to speak to him. He said, oh, I don't have time for you. He had the newspaper. He lifted the newspaper up and began to read the newspaper while he was there visiting. Wouldn't even look at him. He said, I didn't get mad at him. He said, I just started quoting Bible verses to him. He said, I just kept every Bible verse I could think of. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish with everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, every once in a while, I'd see the paper ruffle a little bit. He said, I just verse after verse after verse. He said, I just kept throwing the verses out to talking to her. Never addressed it, never said a word to him. He said, I said goodbye. And he said, he grunted at me. He said, I walked out the door. He said, that night at 2 in the morning, he said, my phone rang. He said, I picked it up. He said, it was that man. He said, are you the preacher that was in my house today? He said, yeah. He said, I can't sleep. He said, those verses you were quoting, he said, you're talking that God loved me and the Bible and that Jesus died for me. And he said, you mentioned some things about hell. He said, I can't sleep. He said, them verses are killing me. He said, can you come over here and talk to me? He said, I'll be there in just a few minutes. That man got saved.
Yeah.
Heard a preacher tell one time he had a friend with whom he had gone to school with in high school. And he went to see that buddy of his. And the fellow, he wanted to witness to him about the Lord. And the fellow didn't want to hear it. And he told the fellow, he said, you know, he said, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And the fellow said, I don't want to hear that. He said, I don't know what else to tell you. He said, I love you. He said, I care about you. He said, don't you understand? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And he said, if that's all you're going to say, he said, you can just leave. And he kicked his friend out. He said, I don't want to hear it. He said, about 2 months passed, and he said, he was getting ready to preach that morning, and he said, he seen the doors open up, and that fellow walked in with his wife, longtime friend, kicked him out of his house for witnessing to him. He said he preached that morning, and he said the fellow walked forward, and he went down to him, shook his hand, and he said, what can I help you with? He looked at him, and he said, you know why I'm here? He said, no, I don't. He said, he that hath the Son hath life. And he said, he hath not the Son of God hath not life. He said, that's all been on my mind since you visited me. He said, I can't get it off my mind. He said, I want to have the Son. He said, I want life. He said, I want to be saved. He knelt and got saved. See, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
You want to have life? You've got to believe what the Bible says. You see, Pharaoh hardened his heart. You know, God just didn't give him. He had one chance. The children of Israel had three. If you look in Exodus 4, you'll see they had three. He said, you do these three things, they'll believe, and they did. I don't have time to show you Romans chapter 11, but Jesus came and he preached to the Jews, the nation of Israel, and they rejected him. That's the reason why the nation of Israel suffers so right now.
That's right.
They rejected him.
Right.
He said, well, then the gospel turned to the Gentile. That's us. In Romans chapter 11, he calls us the wild olive branch grafted in. He said, don't be high-minded, but fear. He said, you're only in because you believed. I'm glad that when Paul, the apostle, went out and he began to preach to Corinth and he began to preach the gospel to the Gentile people, that's us, they said, sounds good to me. They had been worshiping. In Ephesus, they had a goddess, a Diana, and they had all these false gods. And the Roman religion had over 700 different gods. And Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, for it is the power of God and the salvation to the Jew first, also to the Greek. He said, I'm excited. He said, I can't wait to get there to preach to them. He said, I just know something good's going to happen. And bless God, he got there to Rome, and he got to preaching, and the people got to believing. Amen. They got saved, and the whole world was changed. You see, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword.
Right.
The Word has shed grace in the sinner's heart. Brother, listen. If God's ever dealt with your heart, you know it. If God's ever convicted you about salvation, you know it.
That's right.
The question is, what do you do about it? My dad, who, as I mentioned earlier, Brother Selby's passed away. He's going on home to heaven. My dad, a few years back, he breathed his last breath here on earth, and I believe, according to his testimony, he's in heaven also. Anybody knew my dad, knew his testimony, he's not ashamed to tell you he loved the Lord. Had no shame about it, but where did it all begin? My dad wasn't raised in church. He never went to church. My grandpa, who later on got saved, but growing up, my grandpa didn't have any use for church. He sat my dad down one time, pulled a $20 bill out, and he said, son, see this? He said, that's all that matters in life. He said, the more of these you have, the happier you'll be. He said, that's all that matters. One day, my dad was out in California, and he got on a bus. And there's a young man got on the bus with him, and that young man, who I'll see him someday, man, I'm that fella, got on the bus, sat down beside my dad, and handed him a gospel tract. And he said, do you know Jesus is your Savior? And Dad took that piece of paper and wadded it up and threw it down. He told the guy, he said, get out of here. I don't want to hear that stuff. But from 1 year after that, God was still dealing with his heart because that soul winner cared, that man cared. He said enough to get through that hardened heart. And God began to make tender that hard heart. He went to the service. My Uncle Bob preached that night, his first sermon he ever preached. And he preached, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Invitation time. Bob didn't even know what to do. But the piano, they started playing. Invitation time. Dad looked at Mom and he said, I'm going forward. He walked the aisle and bowed and got saved. God saved him and changed his life. Made his life different, new. The Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Say, preacher, where in the world will that all begin for me? When you hear the Word, God begins to deal with your heart. Say, preacher, is it too late for me? I don't know. I'll tell you how you can tell. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. And we'll sup with him and he with me. You ever hear that knock? You ever sit in a church service during invitation time and hear that and wonder if it's you God's talking to? If it's you, what you need to do is accept Christ as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Mr. Selby, you believe that? I do. You will get saved? I do. And that's what he did. What a wonderful thing. God saves sinners.
Amen.
And God will save you and He'll make your life brand new.
Thank you, Lord.
Our heads bowed and eyes closed. As a Christian, I want you to understand that if God speaks to your heart as a child of God, the first time is the best time to obey. Every time, the more you resist God's will for your life, the easier it becomes and the harder you get as a Christian. Christians can get hard against God. So the most miserable people in the world can be Christian people because they've said no to God so many times. But that's a miserable way to live your life. You need to learn to say yes to God. As Christians, Say yes to Him. There's treasures beyond measure for the Christian, the child of God, that will say yes to the Father and say, Lord, I'll do Your will for my life. But if you're here this morning, you've never been born again, you've got one or two choices. You've heard the truth this morning. You can leave here in a minute, still considering salvation and hope that God continues to knock. Or else you can just go ahead and get it settled today and accept Christ as your Savior. He'll save you. If God's dealing with your heart, you ought to get saved this morning. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sister Echo's going to play. As she plays, you pray. And if you want to come pray, Christian, you come pray. If you're here this morning and never been saved, there'll be someone here at the altar to welcome you and greet you and show you how to be saved. Dear Heavenly Father, bless now. Amen. Let's all stand. If you need to come, you come.